Chapter 54. After his quick phone call to Baltazar, Adriano had driven to New Jersey to work on his plans for Numa. He stayed in a cheap motel where he devised an intricate plan for Numa that involved multiple assassins, car bombs, biological agents, and old standbys such as high-powered rifles. He moved on the next day and stayed in another motel. By the third day, he had put the finishing touches on his scheme for mass death and destruction. Then he waited for word from Baltazar. After 2 days, Adriano tried to call Baltazar but got no answer. He hung up on the busy signal and punched in another number that connected him with the recording device he had planted in Austin's tree. "Hello, Joe," Austin's voice said. "How's your research going?" "We've got the mine pinned down," Zavala said. "The papyrus told us exactly where to find it." Adriano raised an eyebrow and listened intently. "Terrific. Feed me the details." Zavala told him about the hotel submerged under the lake in St. Anthony's Wilderness and went into great detail about the shaft leading from the kitchen into the mine. He gave Austin the GPS coordinates. "How soon can we make an exploratory dive?" Austin said.
"I'm pulling together a dive team now. We can be on site in 48 hours.
"Good work. We'll go over the details tomorrow." The two men hung up after some unrelated chit-chat. Adriano read the notes he'd written down. He checked out of his motel room and drove to a storage unit, one of several he maintained near Washington. The unit contained weapons and ammunition, money, changes of clothing and identity, and, for his immediate purposes, a complete set of scuba gear, which he loaded into the trunk of his car. He drove all night, and the next morning his car was bumping along the dirt road into St. Anthony's Wilderness. He parked at the edge of the lake, got into a wetsuit, and slipped into his buoyancy compensator and tank. Adriano was an accomplished diver, having learned his skills from the SEALs who'd been on Baltazar's payroll. He swam to a buoy floating in the lake, glanced at the reading on his portable GPS, and dove down to the hotel with powerful flutter kicks. He made his way to the kitchen and found the shaft. He dove into the opening without hesitating. Even if he hadn't been anxious to get to the mine, it was doubtful he would have noticed the block-shaped plastic objects buried in the rubble within a few feet of the shaft opening. When Adriano got to the bottom of the shaft, he was surprised to see a waterproof slate with an arrow drawn on it and the words, "This way." He followed the direction the arrow was pointing and came to another slate indicating a tunnel off the main cave. He followed it to an intersection. Another slate, another arrow. He came to the end of the tunnel. A fourth arrow pointed the way into the large mine chamber with the dais. As Adriano followed the arrow on the slate, two figures slipped quietly from the woods and made their way to the water's edge. Austin checked his watch. "It's been 30 minutes," he said.
"That would put him down the shaft and into the mine," Zavala said.
The phony telephone conversation had been set up as bait. Austin had been alerted to Adriano's latest eavesdropping by a device the bug man had placed on the device in the tree. Now he waded into the water up to his waist. He was holding a transmitter protected in a waterproof case. He lowered the transmitter into the water and pressed a button. Seconds later, multiple geysers erupted in the surface of the lake. Austin watched, tight-lipped, as the water pattered down on the expanding ripples. Then he turned and sloshed his way back to shore. Far below the surface of the lake, Adriano heard the explosions as a series of thuds. He considered turning back, but decided to keep on. Adriano had a robot-like sense of purpose, which made him an effective assassin, and he was determined to find the mine and its gold.
Following the arrow, he swam into the altar room. His pulse quickened at the sight of the raised dais where the Thomas Jefferson box had rested. Nestled in the shreds of wood was a diver's slate with the words, "When you get to hell, Adriano, give Mr. Balthazar our regards. Austin again." Adriano stared at the message, then threw the slate aside and swam with all his strength along the route that would take him back to the shaft. When he got there, he discovered a pile of rubble that was the only evidence of the collapsed shaft. He glanced at his air gauge. He had minutes left. Even if there was a way out, he didn't have enough air to search for it. Adriano sat on the pile of rubble until his air ran out completely. The last in the line of Spain's official garroters died, in a twist of irony, of asphyxiation.